it says, Asher ozvu es toirasi. You abandon my Torah. You abandon the Torah, and that's why the Chum Beis HaMidrash has occurred. Chazal Darshan, what does that mean? Amar B'Yudah Amrav, Shelo Beruchu BaTorah Techila. There are many interpretations of what that means. We're not going to do that now. There are many, but it basically means that there was a lack of appreciation, the common denominator of all of the answers of what it means, Shelo Beruchu BaTorah Techila, is that there was a lack of appreciation for the Torah, and that is why Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So we have over here Tisha B'Av. The Haftorah itself tells us that Klal Yisrael abandoned the Torah, and because they abandoned the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu took away our Beis Tefillah. Now we come to Shabbos for Eschanan, and we are given a second chance. Hashem presents us with the first parasha of Kriya Shema, which captures the essence of Tefillah. The Mekabolas Oil Malchus Shemaim. When a person davens, he submits himself to Hashem. That's Tefillah. Kabolas Oil Malchus Shemaim. And then when we come to the Aseres Adibros, we are given a second chance. We're given the Luchas. We're given the Torah. This is the double Nechama of this week's parasha. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Shema Yisrael, and the Aseres HaDibros. Okay, now I want to go to an idea, a short idea. The parasha begins by telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel at that bo'es hahi at that time. At that time, maybe Hashem changed his mind and will allow me to enter into Eretz Yisrael. You know that Moshe Rabbeinu was like Zer upon Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, that they may not go into Eretz Yisrael because they hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. The chet of the Memoriva. And Hashem said to Moshe, under no condition will I permit you to go into the land. You're not going into the land. We're going to appoint a successor, Yoshua. He's going to bring the people into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to stay put outside Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the beginning of this parasha, Vo'es Chanan, Tefillah trumps all. Even though Hashem said, you're not going, I'll daven, and we'll see what happens. Moshe was mispalel 500 and 15 tefillahs. Hashem told him, stop, no more. I don't want to hear from you, you're not going. Question, why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that things have changed? That in the pasuk really says, bo'ei sahi. So Rashi answers, Rashi, not right away, but Rashi a little bit further down says, because Moshe Rabbeinu witnessed the fact that he successfully conquered Sichon and Oig. The Eder HaYarden was part of Eretz Yisrael. That land was given to you, to God, Ruvein, and Chatzis Shevet Menashe. That's part of Eretz Yisrael. It was annexed. It was part of Eretz Yisrael. Was it originally meant to be part? I don't know the answer. L'chor or not. But it did become. It's a tough, tough question.
It was annexed.
But what does that mean exactly? It has sanctity, the land? Was a part of what Hashem said to Avraham Avinu, Eretz HaKanani, Achiti Hamori. It's a tough, tough question.
Yeah,
but let's assume
Avraham Avinu definitely walked through there.
Okay, but
when he came from Aram Arami,
when you read the simple reading of the pasuk, it does not appear that it was the original plan A, that would be part of Eretz Yisrael. And it's only because
the parsha should make an interesting view on the pasuk. Moshe thought perhaps he could go in under normal circumstances without being
that's a chazal
because he,
right.
God said to Mochen lo sovi es omazeh, so you won't be the leader
as a citizen
again,
so I'll step down
in the Lushan,
it's not a good idea.
I can still go.
Hashem said fine. If you want, I'll put you in the Hashem did this a lot. Hashem put Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the only one I think, you know, we put him in the time machine, just like Hashem took Moshe Rabbeinu and brought him to the time of Rabbi Akiva. Hashem took Moshe and took him the time to the Shiur Rabbi Akiva. So Hashem took Moshe and put him into the Eretz Yisrael in the time of Yehoshua, and allowed Moshe to see himself as a citizen. And Moshe Rabbeinu ate himself up alive, because after a person has the experience of being a manhig, and now to step down and to be a citizen, it doesn't go. Could you imagine a rabbi of a shul who retires? And he sits in the shul as a regular balabas.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens, but it's It's not so common. In any event, Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to go in as a citizen. Moshe wanted to go in as a manik, and Moshe was mispalm. Hashem said to Moshe, "It's not going to happen." Question: why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that something is going to change? Rashi answers the question. Rashi says because Moshe already succeeded in conquering the land of Sichon and Og. Sichon and Og have a din of Eretz Yisrael. There, it was a next. It has kedusha Soaretz. So Moshe said, if I already succeeded in conquering a chelek of Eretz Yisrael on the east side of the Yarden, l'chora, I'll be able to conquer. That means that automatically means is that the gezerah is batel. Hashem would not have allowed me to conquer the land of Sichon and Og, which has the din of Eretz Yisrael, if the gezerah was fully in effect. The fact that I was able to conquer this land and Hashem permitted me to live this long to see the success of the conquest of the Eder HaYarden and watch Reuven and God settle down in the land, it means Hashem has canceled the gezerah upon me of not going into Eretz Yisrael. So what's the difference then between the Eder HaYarden and the east side of the Yarden and the west side of the Yarden? Very simple. Hashem says to Moshe, you're not going into the land. And all of a sudden, Moshe finds himself in the land. So how did that happen? How did it happen that I'm right now living in Eretz Yisrael when Hashem said, you're not going to be going into Eretz Yisrael? It must be that Hashem said, Hashem canceled. And he just never told me. He never let me know that in Shemayim, he decided on his own that it was canceled. We don't know what goes on in Shemayim. We don't know the person in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there could be upon a person, Chas V'Shalom, a decree that he's going to lose $1,000. And then the year goes by, he doesn't lose $1,000. So what happened? In Shemayim, they canceled the decree. They never let the person know that the decree was canceled. Well, in our case, they never told the person there was a decree to begin with. But they didn't tell him there was a decree, and they didn't tell him it was canceled. So Moshe knew there was a gezeirah. He's not allowed to go into the land. And obviously, here I am. I'm in the land already. Well, there's no chilek in my eyes between the Eder HaYarden and the east side, the west side. I made it. Once I made it into the east, I can now go. I can now go into the west. Why not? That is why Moshe now decided, oh, I made it this far, let me go further. At that moment, when he recognized he already conquered a portion of the land. Fine, that's what it says in Rashi. But now we have a much bigger question on our hands. Why then was it necessary to daven altogether? Why bother? If this statement is correct, if Moshe's approach, the only reason why Moshe exerted himself to daven is because he saw that the gezerah was canceled. If Moshe did not enter into the land, did not enter into the section of Eder HaYarden on the east side, then we're suggesting, then it's mashma, Moshe would not have even bothered to ask Hashem, let me go into the land. Why should I ask Hashem to go into it? It's a waste of time. Hashem told me no. He told me under no condition can you go into Eretz Yisrael. So if Moshe would not have stepped foot on even on the east side of the Yarden, in the territory of God, Reuven, and Chas Yishev and Menashe, Moshe would not have even entertained the Hava Amina to be mispalel, that I should be able to go into the west side of the Yarden. It's only because he saw that Hashem canceled the gezerah. Oh, he let me in. So now I'm going to daven. Wait a minute. If Hashem canceled the gezerah, there's no need to daven. Keep on going. Hashem canceled the gezerah. So keep on going onto the other side of the Yarden. What's the problem? There's nothing, there's no need to daven anymore. Well, why is he davening? What's he davening for?
He wasn't sure
that
there was
canceled. So, no, it seems that he was sure it was canceled. That's exactly the point we're making. That's exactly what Rashi says.
But obviously it
wasn't. Also, the question is, you don't ask too many questions. That's what you learn from this. There are many, many things in life. We all know, if you ask a shayla, then it becomes awesome. I wasn't planning on saying that, but I'm planning to take a little bit of, I'm going to explain the whole thing in a second, trying to bring out. But we all know that many times, don't ask a shayla. If you ask a shayla, Oh, you have a shayla? We'll find the reason why it's asr. If you don't ask, you could assume it's mutter. You could assume it. If it's really asr, someone will tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, I don't think it's the best thing, what you're doing is correct. There are many, many things in life that you do, whether it's a dvar reshus, in work, or in religion, or in relationships. If you don't ask and you innocently do something, no one will ever say you did something wrong in hindsight. But if before you do what you want to do, you go and you ask a shayla, can I do this? They'll never let you. They'll say no way, under no condition. Okay? I'll give you an example that's not even true. Person wants to expand, wants to extend the back of his house. He wants to expand the back of his house. So, you call a contractor and you tell him, you know, I want you to build an extension into the backyard. So, the contractor goes and he builds an extension into the backyard. No one knows, no one asks. Garnish and garnish, he goes, he pays $100,000. He goes and he builds out into the backyard. He's selling his house. He's selling his house. So now they get the bank comes, they have to know the property, there are old records. I'm making up a case which will be partially true. But there are many cases like this are true. Now it comes time he wants to sell his house. Okay, so you gotta deal with the government. You wanna get a mortgage, the bank has records, there are codes, there are records of the property line, how big is the house, and they come down to inspect the house and they see the house is larger than what they have on record from the city. Someone built an extension. So the city bureaucrat says, all right, good, it's okay. He signs off on it, and the guy gets a mortgage. This happens, how come, but it's not what it says, and you would really need a permit, and you need to spend an enormous amount of money and do ABCD to get this to happen.
Cash bribe.
Whatever, no bribes. No, right. The records that we have of the city are the very, very old. Not every house has been updated. These records are 100 years old, some of them. All right. The city bureaucrat signs off on it. What would have happened if before you built your extension, you would go ask the city for a permit? Oh, are you allowed? You call 311, building the Department of Buildings. Am I allowed to extend my house? What's your name, sir? Where do you live? What's your address? 5 minutes later, there's a car in front of your house from the Department of Buildings and analyzing the house. It is osur to do this. Osur. You want a permit? Oh, that's going to cost you $50,000. And you have to have a variance and you have to have a community board meeting. This goes on forever. You ask a shayla, you're finished. You don't ask a shayla, you can get away with quite a bit. Legally, not talking about illegal conduct. I'm talking about legal. I'm talking about in halacha. I'm talking about there are many areas of life across the board where if you don't ask and you just do, it works.
In halacha you have?
Yeah, no, in halacha also. Halacha, there are many madregos. There are chumros, there are hidurim. This is what the vel does. What's maker hadin? Maker hadin. You have a bris.
Sometimes it depends how you ask.
Yeah, how you ask the question. Yeah, exactly.
Sir, the other day, listen to this. My sister tells me a story. She, good friends of hers from Queens, they were going to Israel for the Yom Tovim, and they wanted to know whether or not one day or 2 days, whether or not they need to hold 2 days. And so the husband asked the rabbi, and the rabbi said, for whatever reason, you can hold only 1 day. His wife didn't know that the husband had asked. She's asking the rabbi a week or two later, the same question, but maybe a little bit differently. And he said to her,
2 days.
No, you have to hold 2 days. And that's what they did.
Right.
Then,
it's all high. Yes. That's what
they went to Israel and they held, and everyone went out the second day except for the wife stayed home. And people were saying to her, you must feel bad that everyone, you know, everyone else left and went to stay home. And she said, it was my best day there. I could relax and no noise.
The rabbi knew what he was saying, right? The rabbi manipulated the answer because he wanted to give her a break. Look, this one of the most beautiful stories of Rabbi Zachariah Wallace in Zechat Sagan Levracha was where he went to Rav Steinman. And he said to Rav Steinman, I have an idea for, you know, he dealt with girls that need help. And he said, it says, I want to build this facility. Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a good idea for me to go and proceed to build this facility? Rav Steinman said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. But I want to do this. I really think it's a great idea. I really think this is going to help the girls. I really think that this is what we need. I really believe that this is the solution. No, I hear you. Every word you're saying, this is not a good idea. Do not do this. So Zachariah was very shocked. He didn't do it. Rav Steinman told him not to do it. He came back a year later to Rav Steinman. He said to Rav Steinman, the girls really would benefit from this. The girls really need this. The girls, it would solve. Rav Steinman, this is an excellent idea. Go, do it right away. They said to Rav Steinman, I went to you last year, I asked you the same question. You told me, Loimit and Aleph. So Rav Steinman says, last year when you came to me, I remember you kept on saying, I want to do this. I. It was all about your covenant. It was all about your legacy. What are you going to do? I want to do this. You're not going to have siyata d'shmaya in building an institution where it's all about you, no matter how noble the cause is. This year when you came to me, you said to me, the girls need this. The girls need that. The girls would benefit. Over 1 year, all of a sudden, it's not about you anymore. It's about them. Now is the time to go and proceed. Now we'll get siyata d'shmaya. So right, it all depends on you ask the question. I'll give you a partial example to talk about. A person makes a bris on this past Sunday on Tisha B'Av, which was a nidcha. And he opens up the Shulchan Aruch, and it says in Shulchan Aruch that when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday in nidcha, you are allowed to eat. The Avi HaBen is allowed to eat. The Sandik, they have three people. The Moyel, the Sandik, the Avi HaBen. So the Avi HaBen, you're allowed to eat. He goes and he eats. He has a delicious lunch. He has a delicious dinner. No problem. He has a nice cup of coffee and a cold, delicious, iced cold drink on a hot day. He's sitting there at home watching all the movies, Yellow Gold, and watching Project Inspire and the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, eating and drinking. I'll tell you a joke in the middle. When they filmed the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation, you know, they put in an enormous amount of money. They bring down a movie studio to film it, and everyone has to be dressed just right, and the lighting is, they do, you know, it's like the real deal. And Pesach Kron was one of the, this year was one of the speakers, and they bring him to a beautiful shul, the whole, it's like a mamish, like a Broadway show, it's like a show, a movie. He has to speak a number of times so they can just take the perfect clip. So it's a whole long, they torture the rabbanim to say their speech. They have to say it sometimes a few times so they can take the best clips. You know, they put it together, they package it. So during the whole thing, you know, it's a long process. And they make them work very hard to say over their speech a couple of times until they get it perfect. And in the meantime, they bring him a cup to drink. This is like Hanukkah time, you know, they're preparing this way, way before. And he's drinking and he's saying the shir, and as he says, he takes a drink. And they go, cut. This is a Tisha B'Av speech. We can't show this on Tisha B'Av. Rabbi Pesach Kron drink a cup of soda, drink a cup of water in between his paragraphs. Cut. Okay? But any event, on Tisha B'Av, going back, on Tisha B'Av, on Sunday he eats. Okay? This fellow didn't ask a shayla. Tisha B'Av is now over. And he starts bragging that he ate on Tisha B'Av. Will anyone say one word to him that he did the wrong thing? No. Wow, very good. It says Meferish in Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and in the Mishnah Brura. Lucky you, everyone that heaps upon him praise. Wow, you see that Hashem was mezaki you with a child, and Hashem didn't want you to fast to make it easy for you. Everything is wonderful and good. If this fellow, before he would take a sip of coffee on Tisha B'Av, would call up his Rav just to make sure that he's allowed to take a drink, you know what the Rav would tell him? Don't do it. But it says in the Mechaber, and the Ramah, and the Mishnah Berurah, and the Sharet Zion says, I deliberately left out the other opinion, because that's not our minhag. So, after the fact, no one would dare say, would dare say, you did anything. What you did was 100% correct. But I guarantee you, if he would have called up a Rav and asked the Rav, can I eat on Tisha B'Av after Mincha because I'm the Avi HaBen, the Rav would tell him the minhag is not to do so. Don't do it. You ask a Shaila, it becomes awesome. If you would not have asked the Rav and he would come inside this and tell him, I ate today a delicious meal, the Rav would say, lucky you. I wish I was in your shoes. The Rav wouldn't even begin to think, did he do the wrong thing? Because he did not do the wrong thing. He did the right thing. But if you would have asked the Shaila, he would have been told for sure it's mutter. But unless you're not feeling well, you should really fast. Because that's the minhag ha'olam. And that's what the Magen Avraham says. And that's what the Sharet Zion says. And there's a whole people over there. Oh, but it says that it's mutter. This is the Yesod. The Yesod is, there are many things in life. If you don't ask, it's okay. In hashkafa, in practical matters, in relationships, in the way you conduct yourself, and even in halacha. Make no mistake about that. Even in halacha. You ask a shayla, you finish. It's treif. Yeah, it's treif. That's the way it is. That's the rule of the reality. Moshe Rabbeinu over here comes into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu comes into, it comes over here into the land of Oy. We have a very strange pasuk. This pasuk is a contradiction mine ube. It says vo eschanan el Hashem, bo esahi leimor. So Rashi, it's not mamish on this pasuk. But Rashi goes on. It is on this pasuk. Everything is on this pasuk. I'm not going to read it because we don't have time. But Rashi says, why all of a sudden bo esahi? Why wasn't Moshe mispalo to Hashem before? Before that, it should have the merit to go into before the going. So Rashi says, because Moshe Rabbeinu did not have a Hava Amina, that he would be allowed to go into the land. Because Hashem told him, under no condition, you're going, it's a waste of time. The answer is no. It's Bo'esahi. Something unusual happened. Moshe Rabbeinu acknowledged, here I am. I'm in the land. I have already entered Admas Kodesh. I already came into the land of Oig and Sichon. I'm here. I conquered the land. And no one said boo to me. Oh, so you see, here I am. I'm allowed to go into the land. So now Moshe says, let me ask a Shaila. Am I allowed to go into the Eiver Hayard, into the west? You know, what is he doing, Moshe Rabbeinu? If already you find yourself here, on the east side of the Yarden, which is Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, obviously, Hashem was matir the Gezerah. So don't ask any shilas. Just keep on going. Keep on going. And you know something I want to suggest? This may be radical. If you would have kept on going, nothing would have happened. What do you mean, Hashem? What do you mean? You're matir the neder. I'm on the west side of the Yarden. Is that not Eretz Yisrael? Are we chayiv in Shumas and Maestros? Are we chayiv in all the halachas? What? On the east side of the Yarden? Are we chayiv in all of the halachas? We certainly are. So what's the difference? We were matir the neder.
Shemitah also.
Everything is noig there. You were matir the neder. So look at that. So Moshe should have kept on going. And I'm willing to suggest that nothing, he would have made it inside. So why then did Moshe daven? Why did he daven? What's going on here? So the answer is Moshe is coming to teach us an incredible insight, and it's not even his chiddush. This is what Avraham Avinu was machadish. We have a halacha. Who is the one who established tefilas shacharis? Avraham Avinu. when, if you ask the average person, when was Avraham Avinu, when did he establish Tefillah Shachris? Sodom. Ask the Irish when. Everyone, go ask a child. Everyone knows when Hashem informed Avraham Avinu that the people of Sodom are wicked and Hashem is going to destroy them. So Moshe, so Avraham Avinu said, Ribbono Shel, come on, aren't there 50 tzaddikim? 50 tzaddikim? No, there are not. 40, 30, 20, 10? No, there are not. All right, I lose. Game over. Moshe, Avraham Avinu goes back. Next day, poof. Mushroom clouds. Gone. Meir was on site. Meir knew the codes to the football. He pressed those numbers. Poof. No more Sodom. All right. So we asked Yagra, when was Avraham Avinu besakin tefillah shachris? When he was misfalo to Hashem, 50, 40, 30. 20, 10, right? He's the swallow. Wrong. That's not the pasuk. The pasuk is the next day. The very next day, it says in the pasuk, "Vayamoid Avraham el hamokim." He returned. "Vayoshev Avraham el hamokim," and he stood there, and he was mispalel nochamo. What? After he destroyed Sodom. I can find the pasuk quickly. Avraham Avinu, the day after Sodom was destroyed, Avraham Avinu returned to the exact same location and was mispalo. That is the makor of Tzvila Shachris. What is he praying for? It's over. It's already done. Sodom is destroyed.
What?
It says Vayamor Ein Amida Ela Tzvila. Chazal Darshan Ein Amida. Ella Tzvila. Let me go to the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Parshas Lech Lecha." Is that the parsha? Parsh Lech Lecha for the people of Sodom. El Hamok, no, Vayera.
19, I think it's chapter 19. Because
the chapter 19, Vayashkev, correct. Parsh Vayera. Mayor, tell Tamara we need her here. We need her for the psukim. Vayashkev al pnei stoim v'amor v'alkom v'yihi v'yihi v'shaches. Okay, he was destroyed. Let me go back over here. He molit. Let me go back. I'm sorry, go back. Let me go back. Vayetze loit. Okay, let's go back when Hashem told me he's going to destroy Sodom. Not after Sodom, but after it was a done deal. Okay, vayelech Hashem kasher kila ledaber alav Avram shav lemekoymai. Avram returned, and then the pasuk says, "Vayavo shnei malachim Sodoma." Okay, they went to Sodom to destroy, and they destroyed Sodom. Let's go further in the pasuk. Vayashkef Hashem further. Vayisa mishem Avram aretz hanegev. I can't find it at this moment. Take too much time to find it. I'm looking for the pasuk, yeah? Right, but that's how the... Right, that, I'm, the ain amida ela tfila. Nochom. Nochom, I'm looking for... Nochom, nochom. I'm looking for the pasuk. I'm looking for the pasuk where you return to the place. Give me one moment to find the pasuk. Okay, we are over here. Avraham Avinu was misfala. Vayavohu, Vayosva, Dilaber, Vayama, Ulai, Motsum, Sham, Arbo, Arboim, 40. Vayomer, Hininoch, Alta, Dilaber, El Hashem, Ulai, Motsum, Sham, Esrim. Okay, Vayomer, Al No, Yich, Layel, Hashem, Kashar, Kil, Laber, La, Avram, Yavram, Shavl, Mukoyboy. Okay, let me go find with the Vayomer, Shavayosham, or Sodoma. Now we go to Sodoma. Now we have to go in further. It's probably afterwards. It's afterwards. But before, there's another pasuk. I can't find it at this moment. I cannot find it. But there's a pasuk. We have to find the pasuk. Avraham Avinu, he went back to Mispalel after it was all over. It was
all.
So where is that pasuk?
Okay,
the Avraham ben Vashem Pogad Esarki. That's why I know this is not the pasuk. So where is that pasuk?
Some.
I can't find it this moment, but Chazal darsh on that pasuk that you learned that I was mispalel tefila shachris. Not he established tefila shachris, not when he prayed for the people of Sodom, but was established tefila shachris after his tefilos were rejected. And he said, you know, it was such an incredible experience. I had this amazing, amazing experience of davening to Hashem. And knew he rejected my prayers. But I still want to have that experience again. So the next day he returned to that makom and he davened again. And that's when he was established. He established the tefillah of shachar. So what do you learn from that over there? You learn from that is that the koyach of davening is not that you should succeed. Okay, where is that? What parak? Parak Yutes, Pasuk Chof Zayin. Pasuk of Zayin, Vayashkem, Ex, Vatabeit Ishto Me'acharov, puff of smoke, it went up in a mushroom cloud, Kei Vayashkem, Vatabeit Ishto Me'acharov, Vati Nitzev Melach. Here's the Pasuk. This Pasuk of Zayin, Perik Yutes, Pasuk of Zayin is the Pasuk where Aaron Avinu was established to Filas Shacharis. Vayashkem Avraham Baboiker. Okay, Mark. Vayashkem Avraham Baboiker El Hamokoy Masha Omat Shom Ispnei Hashem. Here, it's all over. It's all over. His Filas were rejected. Sodom is now a puff of smoke. And yet, Avraham, he wakes up early in the morning. He returns to the same location where he davened. The people of El Hamokim Asher Omad Sham Esprei Hashem. And when it says the word Omad, it means he prayed. This is the pasuk where Avraham Avinu was established for Klal Yisrael Tefillah Shachris. Not when he davened for Sodom. The day after. After his tefillahs were rejected and Hashem destroyed Sodom. And Avraham Avinu, he reflected. Wow! What an amazing experience I had yesterday. Let's establish this experience for Klal Yisrael for all generations. He went the next day and established it. Tefillah is not about results. It's about making the connection. Now, let's go now to, I want to suggest that it's exactly the same story, but with not such good results for Moshe Rabbeinu. Vo'eschanan el Hashem bo'esahi. Rashi, what's this word bo'esahi? Number two, why is Moshe have the audacity to pray? It's over. Hashem told you no. You're not going into the land. It's over. What are you praying to me for? What is he praying? What's bo'esahi? Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need to pray because Hashem was matter the neder. Or at least it seemed. Hashem at least seemed to be mad because how in the world did Avraham Avinu get so far? How did he get into the land, into the Eiver HaYarden, the east side of the Yarden? The only way it can possibly be that I got this far is because Hashem was mad to the nether. He was mad to my Gezerah. So I don't need to be Misfala. I don't need to be Misfala. So why are you being Misfala? The experience. Now that Hashem, just like Avraham Avinu, when he was mispalel, he was rejected, and yet, oh, let me daven anyway. I that experience, Moshe Rabbeinu in essence is doing the same thing. Moshe is thrilled. I can now go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem was matir my neder, but Moshe, he feels guilty. Hashem was matir the neder, and I didn't even have to daven. So Moshe, in essence, is davening retroactively. Because davening is not about results. I already got the results. But I feel guilty that I got into Eretz Yisrael without even trying. Avraham Avinu, each one davened in a unique way to show it's not a matter of the results, it's a matter of the connection. Avraham Avinu's tefillos were rejected. Okay, it's okay. You rejected what I want. I still want to daven to you. I still want to establish. Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu got a freebie. Bo'esahi, the neder, the gezera is bottled. You can go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe, I feel guilty. It was too easy. I didn't have to do anything. Hashem gave me a gift. I feel guilty. It's undeserved. So you know what? Let me daven to go into Eretz Yisrael to make up for the fact that you gave me such a wonderful gift and I didn't even deserve to. So let me daven to show you my appreciation. You ask a shayla, it's treif. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. He knew it's kedai to give it up. To give it, in other words, don't rock the boat. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have just continued to go into Eretz Yisrael, he could have gone in. Because Hashem allowed him to go this far. If Hashem let you go on to the east side, you go. But Moshe Rabbeinu felt guilty. I got a free gift. So let me dive in retroactively. Oh, you ask a shayla. There's a chilek between the east side of the Yarden and the west side of the Yarden. If it says in the Mishnah Berurah that you're allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av when it's a nidche, so don't ask shaylas. Who's gonna say boo to you? We'll show them what it says in the Mishnah Berurah, and you'll even show them in the Shar HaTzilin. I know what it says in the Magen Avram, but we don't hold of the Magen Avram. Who's gonna say boo to you? No one. But if you call up the rabbi and say, Rabbi, I have in my hand a delicious, delicious ice-cold cup of Snapple, and I'm about to make the bracha, I just want to check. The rabbi says, don't make that bracha. It's usur. You ask a shayla, we do hold of the Magen Avram. Don't listen to what it says in the Mishnah Berurah in this particular instance. We do hold of the Magen Avram here in America. Don't do that. You ask a shayla, it's treif. So why did Moshe ask a shayla? It's kedai to ask the shayla when it comes to tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu is acting in the ways of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, his tefillahs were rejected. So what are you coming back the next day? It's too late. We trias hameisim, they're dead. They're all gone. They're dead. There's smoke. They're the puff of smoke. So what are you coming back the next day? El hamokam asher amad sham to make the daven again. It was such an amazing thing. I think we should do this every single day. Mark, you got today 6:30 to daven? Because of Avraham Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, here I am. I'm in Eretz Yisrael. Wow, unbelievable. Moshe says, I didn't even daven for this. I didn't daven for good reason. Because Hashem told me, under no condition are you going in. And look at this, here I am. You know, I feel guilty. You get something for free. I don't take handouts. That's not the way I operate, Moshe Rabbeinu. I feel guilty. A freebie. I don't want freebies. So if Hashem already gave it to me, let me make believe Hashem didn't give it to me, so I can daven for it. Because that's what you do. You daven. Davening is not about results. It's about davening. So I'm going to daven as if I'm going to ask Hashem to let me go. But don't you realize, Moshe, if you do this, you're opening up a can of worms. If you got away with it, you got away with it. If you're going to go make believe you didn't get away with it, you're finished. I had this mindset with myself many, many years ago with Google. I did something with Google, and I was making good money, and it was potential to make a lot of money. There was something about what I was doing that bothered me. Because according to their terms and conditions, it may be against their terms and conditions, but everyone else was doing it, and they obviously made a lot of exceptions for a lot of people, what I was doing. And I didn't want any problems down the line, so I was an idiot. You know what I did? Really? I sent them an email just to get in writing that they give me an exception. And the next second, all of a sudden, my account is canceled.
Wow.
And then I tried pedal backwards to go ask these people who have connections to get me a connection, to get my permission. No, nothing doing. You ask a shayla, it's treif. You don't ask a shayla, no one can ever say to you boo. Moshe, Moshe got into Eretz Yisrael? What?
Can we amplify a little bit if there's a Shaila and don't ask? Why shouldn't you ask to be sure that you're doing the right
it
thing?
It says in Mishnah Berurah. What more? What is the rabbi going to tell you? The rabbi who learns the Mishnah Berurah, the same Mishnah Berurah you learn.
If you're in doubt, you ask.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu taught. Moshe Rabbeinu, when it comes to tefillah, I don't take freebies. I would never have daven for this, because Hashem told me that under no condition are you going into Eretz Yisrael.
You should have done to say thank you.
So
thank you, God. I'm here.
No. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, but you know something? If Hashem already gave it to me, so obviously He's opening me up for me the opportunity that it should not be a freebie. So let me go through the steps. Moshe, don't you realize if you're going to go through the steps, you're opening up a can of worms, and Hashem will make a chilik tzivishin between the east and the west? Moshe says, you know something? To daven to Hashem, it's worth it.
Yeah,
it's worth it. Even if I'll open up a can of worms and the result will then be that I'm going to lose, know something?
To
daven is kedai. That's how valuable the Koyach of Tefillah is.
It's worth it to get to the end.
Okay, really, I want to tell you something. It says here in the Pasuk.
Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach us.
Right. Yes. Of course, that's what I meant to say. To teach.
You're in Holocaust. And you made it another thing. And another thing. Every morning, pray again. Maybe.
Exactly. That's the lesson. Okay, we're running out of time. I wanted to a few more important things. Moshe Rabbeinu over here, we know that there are two luchas. There are two sets of luchas. The first edition and the second edition. And there are numerous differences between the first, I think there are 22 differences. There are numerous differences between the first luchas and the second luchas. Okay, we all know that. Yet what's very shocking here, and where do we have a text of the first luchas? Parshas Yisro. Where is the text of the second luchas? In Parshas, on this week's parsha. Problem is, Moshe Rabbeinu, in this week's parsha, is reviewing what happened in the desert. And when Moshe Rabbeinu presents the luchas, he presents the edition of the luchas that we read, which is the second luchos shniyos, as part of the narrative
of the first.
Gesundheit. It would be much, much more accurate. Moshe will say, you know what happened? I went to Shemayim to get the luchas, I brought them down, I shattered it, and then I was misfal, then I brought down the luchas. And this is what it says. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher otzei sicha. It's very misleading. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he tells you the story of the Aseres HaDibros, he says, Vayikra Moshe, Vayimalchem, Shema Yisrael Zachum Yisrael Shpatim, Hashem Elokeinu Koratzim and Bris B'chorev, Lo Yisav Oseinu, Ponim upon him. Anochi Omei Bein Hashem Bein Echem Bo Yisrael Hilagi Lohem Ez Dvar Hashem. Ki Yireisem Mimnei O'esh. That was true. You were afraid of the fire. When were you afraid of the fire? By which luchas? By the first. By the second luchas, it was all alone. The first luchas were given in public. The second luchas, there was no one there. It was only Moshe. So Moshe says, you were afraid. Anochi omei bein Hashem bein Echem. Why is that he lagil chem lechem dvar Hashem? Ki yireisem imnei o'esh. V'lo alisem bohar leymar. And what does it say? Excuse me, this is so misleading. This is thoroughly misleading. The text of what it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is the text of the Luchos Shniyos, not the Luchos Rishonos. So why does Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Va'eschanan mislead us and present the text of the Luchos Shniyos, passing it off as if this was the text of the Luchos Rishonos? You should add a pasuk or two. All you got to go do here is add one or two psukim to indicate that the first Luchos, you guys blew it. I destroyed it. And now, I went back to Shemayim and I brought down, and here's version two. What's going on over here? This is misleading. Terribly misleading. How do you answer this question?
The other pasuk before the one.
What does it say? What is the answer?
Pasuk 14, it says,
Pasuk 14? Where's Pasuk 14? Where are you reading from? What Pasuk 14?
Chapter...
Chapter 4, yeah.
14.
Chapter 14, chapter 4, 14, fine.
This is talking about that. This is the book in the Mishpat that I taught you.
Look at the Hagdama, Revi, the fourth Aliyah, the Hagdama to the Aseres Adibros, Anochi Oimeid Bein Hashem Einechem Bo'ez at that time. What's Bo'ez Ahi? Luchos Har Sinai, Lahagid Lochem Es Devar Hashem, Ki Yirei Sem, you were terrified. Bibnei Ho'esh, when was there an Esh? Only the Luchos Rishonos was there an Esh. The Luchos Shniyos was private matter, Moshe was in Shemayim. At that time, v'loy alisem bohar, and you did not ascend the mountain, Lamar is saying, this pasuk here is very misleading. It indicates that the text of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is the text of the Luchos Rishonos, is what Hashem gave as the Luchos, the text of the Luchos Shniyos is the text of Luchos Rishonos. You can't argue with this question. This is a tough question. How come it's misleading? So the answer has to be something that we learn really in the Kinnah. The Kinnah, Eich asher kivor asahu. The shattering of the Luchos, in essence, is Churban. The shattering of the Luchos is Churban. That's what it is. The Torah HaKadosha, Yisrael v'yoreis of the Kutcha B'ruchu, the Maasei Elokim, the HaMichtav, is the Michtav Elokim, and the Luchos, the Maasei, and Moshe shatters it. It's Churban. It's all Churban. It's the makar of all Churban when Moshe shattered the Luchos. How can you shatter the Maaseh Elokim, the Torah? It's unbelievable. What happened? Moshe went to Shemayim, was Mispalel, and he brought down Luchos Shniyos. In the Kinah on Tisha B'Av, I think it's Kinah Yudalit, if I'm not mistaken, there's a very, very difficult Kinah, and the whole theme of the Kinah is, it was meant to be. It was meant to be that Adam and Chava would eat from the Eitz Hadas. Oh, I have free will. There's no answer to that question. It was meant to be there would be a Churban. This was part of the blueprint of creation.
I don't know that.
It says it in the Kinah. Okay, it's a good question. It's a very difficult, it was meant to be. Oh, how could you say it was meant to be? You have free will. Okay, there is no answer to that question. This pasuk is really teaching you who's meant to be. In the context of this pasuk, it's fascinating. Moshe Rabbeinu is presenting the final version. The Luchos Shniyos is the final version. Is it not? The Luchos Rishonos. You're going to tell me Kabbalistic things that one is more sacred than the other? Whoever says that. Whoever says that the Luchos Shniyos is less sacred than the Luchos Rishonos, there's a lot of drush. Okay, you tell children, on a very simple level, you tell a child that the Luchos Rishonos was the ideal, and Luchos Shniyos, it's plan B. That's not at all simple. There have been many, many rayos that the Luchos Shniyos was more sacred than Luchos Rishonos. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is giving incredible nechama. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. What's the nechama? Mamish, what it says over here. Rabbeisai, this was the plan all along. When a person suffers terrible, terrible tragedy, Rachmana Litzlan, lo yaleinu, what does a person think? Oy, if only this would not have happened. If only it was cut short before its time. If someone would then take you outside of your world and show you that this was meant to be from day one, you're making a big mistake. You think the greatest tragedy happened to you? This was the biggest bracha. You have to have emunah to understand that. I mean, that's not something very obvious. A person has this broken heart. He wanted to get a job. I wanted so much to get this job. And then someone came along and chapped it. And this happened, that happened. Oh, what am I going to do now? Agmas nefesh. And then you look back later in your life, 50 years later, and you're able to put all the pieces together. and to see it was all part of a plan. Wow, that's a nechama. That's a real nechama. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is presenting the Shviras HaLuchos is the spitz of Churban. Every Churban in this world is rooted in the Shviras HaLuchos. The Torah HaKadosha, written on an object that the Torah calls Maasei Elokim. This is not a substance from this earth. The stone, or not a stone from this earth, the Luchos Shniyos is Psalucha. The Luchos is Maasei, the HaMichtav, Michtav Elokim. And Moshe comes down with the Torah HaKadosha after fighting with the Malachim, and he takes it and he shatters it. Every Churban in the Welt is Mushrash in the Luchos, the Shviras HaLuchos. Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to Shemaim and he brings down version 2, the second improved edition. The new and improved edition. Pretty good. A second edition. Second edition is better than the first edition. And we're working with that premise, and we can prove it not now, that the Luchos Shniyos were even more sacred. And it has a different text. And Moshe Rabbeinu here in Parshas Vo'eschana Nachamu Nachamu Ami is telling you the ultimate nechama. Don't cry over spilled milk. This is what was meant to be from day one. When we are at Har Sinai, this is what Hashem wanted to tell you. Version 2, not version 1. It's just that at Har Sinai you weren't ready yet. So Hashem gave you a preview, a trailer. A trailer of what's going to be. He gave you Luchos Rishonos. There were some spelling mistakes. There were some missing letters. Toiv was missing, Vav was missing. It was worded Azoy and Azoy. You know why? You weren't ready yet. So therefore, it was all part of the original plan. We'll give you a preview, and then we'll break it, and then we'll give you the real thing. Now when I want to recall, review, in hindsight, what happened, let me tell you, package it together. You were there at Har Sinai, and Hashem gave you version 2. That one was meant to be. Ultimately, you got version 2. There was a little bit of a huddle. But this is what was meant to be from the very, very beginning. No, but you're going to tell me, but that's not what happened, Moshe. You gave us a different version. You broke it. You gave a second version. I know. You reached the end. The end. You got the results at the very end. But the version 2 was meant to be given to you in the very, very beginning. So therefore, what happened to you in the very beginning and it was shattered wasn't really a bad thing. It was just a process to get to where you needed to go. Isn't that the ultimate nechama? The ultimate nechama was, this was the plan all along for your betterment. The whole kina yudalit says, and it's a very esoteric concept, say such a thing, because B'shas Maisi, you have so much pain. You know, how does all this work? I know, there are a lot of loose ends. But this is a yesoid. It's a kina yudal. It was meant to be from the very beginning. There will be a churban by Yisrish and by Yisheni. It was meant to be Adam and Chava would eat. It was meant to be Mechiras Yosef. How do you explain it? Oh, if only this didn't happen, we would have been so much better, all the tzaris. You're right, 1,000%. But there's more to it. There is another dimension in this world that it was meant to be. It was meant to be. And that's exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing here in Vo'eschanan. He's presenting Har Sinai with version 2 of the Luchos. Because you ultimately got what you were supposed to get. Okay, to conclude, it's today is Tu B'Av. Today is a day of Shiduchim. The truth, though, is it's not just about. And my Rebbe always used to say, I always repeat this in the Sifsais of Dovos Bakever. Today, there are 5 events that happen on this day. One of the events is, it's called Yom Tabor Magol. They finish chopping wood for the Beis HaMikdash. They finish chopping wood. Mark, when the winter is over, you have a shovel, a snow shovel. What do you do with the snow shovel when the season is over? What do you do with it? Garage. In the Beis HaMikdash, today the season came to an end, they stopped chopping wood. So what would you do with the axe? What would you think? You put it in the garage for next year. Yeah. Right? Isn't that the logical thing to do? You finish chopping the wood, you finish with a snow shovel, you put it away in the garage for next year. You don't go spend another $25 on another shovel.
You always need wood from his bath.
No, but no more. That was it. They cut the wood and they cut enough wood until the next season. They had storage for them until the next season. So what do you do with the axe? You put the axe in the garage next to the snow shovel and the snow and the snow plower. You're right. You next to the skis. You put it away in storage. That's not what they did. They took their axe. Go look on Amazon. How much a good axe cost? It cost a good $100, $200. A good axe. You know what they did with the axe? They took it and they broke it. And they put it out for the sanitation to pick up and take away. Bal Tashchis! It's called today Yoim. This is my Rebbe's verb. My Rebbe said this over. Chaim Sigal Zirzag Levracha. Yoim Tabor Magol. Tabor means to break, to destroy. Today, they had a nice, good axe. It costs good money. And they took the axe and they broke the axe. And they put it out on the lawn for the sanitation to take away. My hand, Bal Tashchis. So my Rebbe was, what did they do when they didn't have to go to work? So it says in Chazal, they went to Koilo. They went to the morning Koilo. They went to Koilo. They had free time. They retired. Today's retirement day. Today is National Retirement Day. Yoim Tabor Magol, people stopped working to break, to chop the wood, and they went to Koilo. So the Rebbe says, if you have the axe in the garage, when you go to Koilo, even though you're shuckling in front of the Gemara, your mind, the axe is in the garage, every piece of wood that I chop, money, I can't wait already, I'm already planning and plotting, when will the season begin? I can go into the attic and take my axe and start chopping more, ding, 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 and bring in that money. If you really want to learn the Hasmada Rabbah, you gotta break the axe. You gotta completely sever yourself from this world and completely immerse yourself in the opportunity you have in front of you. If you're gonna just take your axe and put it away in storage, subconsciously, you're thinking about that axe. Because eventually the season will begin again, and you're gonna have to go and start chopping more wood. But if the axe doesn't exist, I'll wait and there'll be a new model next year. There'll be a better model, better wood, better blades, new technology. In the meantime, I have no axe, I have nothing. All I have is a Daf Gemara. So let me at least concentrate in the meantime fully on the Daf Gemara. That's why it was
wormy at that time. It wouldn't become
wormy. You're not able to chop. That's why you're not able to chop. But the season will come later on. That's why it's Yom Tabor Magol. If you really want to succeed in anything, Lav Dafka Torah, you have to fully immerse yourself and remove all potential distractions. Okay, to conclude, there are other things that happen on this day. Now, I want to just suggest to you that Yom Tabor Magol, you know where the great Simcha was? Michal, you're going to love this. The global warming people, they stopped chopping the trees down. And I'm not joking. I'll explain to you what I mean over here is, Ki ho'adam eitz hasodeh. Every time you chop down a tree, you're chopping down a person. Now, we have a tendency in this world to belittle people, to knock them out. We knock out people. We have a tendency to insult people. And doesn't it say in the Chazal, Ki ho'odom eitz hasodeh? I know that's not the parsha on the pasuk, but all the darshanim anyway run over the Rashi and they interpret the pasuk like it says, that man is a tree. Isn't it amazing? They stop chopping down people. Ham eitz b'ayin? There's something to it. Now, why am I saying that? I'm only saying that because look at the other four events that happen on this day. There is one.
That's only fruit trees, by the way.
That's only fruit trees. It says ki adam etzasadeh, all different types of people. Now, why am I saying this? Because what are the other events that happen on this day? They all have one common denominator. The common denominator of all the events that happen on this day is l'chaim, shidduchim. They all got married. They all went out to the vineyard in the girls' borrowed clothing. They danced in the machal and the boys. Su'u, bochrei nechem, uru'u. Marriage. Re'ei chayim im ho'isha asher ahavta. What else happened? Shevet binyamin. They were matter them lovel b'kahal. The terrible tragedy, Pilegesh Begiva, wiped out kimat the whole Shevet binyamin. And they made a gezeira. No one's allowed to marry. There were only 400 men left. No one is allowed to dare give their daughter to Shevet binyamin in marriage. This Shevet was on the verge of extinction. And on Tu B'Av, they made a takana, they were made a psak halacha that the gzera is over. They're allowed to marry, take noshim from other shvatim, they can live. Shevet Binyamin will live on. Life. What else happened on Tu
B'Av?
Midbar. They stopped dying. Every year on Tisha B'Av, they lie down, and they lie down, and approximately 15 plus thousand people didn't wake up the next day. And then the last year, they lie down in the grave, and guess what? They woke up. We must have made a mistake in the calendar. They went down again until it was a full moon. Full moon.
Moshe spoke to Moshe also.
The Shechina returned. Torah is life. Is Vatem Hadvekim Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Hayom Chayim Hadvekim Hashem Moshe spoke. They lived. Okay, so Haruge Beitar. Nitnu likvura, and what does that do for them? It gives them, the Chazal say that this is esoteric things which we don't know about, but it gives them life in Olam Haba. Until the person is buried, we don't know what this means, I'm just saying words, but the neshama is in a state of torment. They don't have menucha. They're not able to go and attach themselves to chayim of nitzchias. Their bodies are not buried. The kavur, Chazal said that it's a very beginning. We don't know what this means, that a person should be buried as soon as possible, because until the burial, there's a delay. The neshama is held back from going into chay olam haba, whatever these things are all about. Ninu l'kavura. There were ninu l'kavura. It gave, first of all, it gave closure to the living. Can you imagine all of the relatives? The relatives of all people who died, Haragi Beitar, their relatives' bodies are just in disgrace. And now finally they were buried with their kavod. It gave the living in this world closure. You can't live with yourself if you know that it's upon you the obligation to go bury your brothers. An oinin is part of kol haTorah kula, because you're preoccupied in burying a mace. So the people in Klal Yisrael, they were basically oinonim for 7 years. Haruge Beitar, their bodies were not buried for 7 years. The whole Klal Yisrael was together in oinin for 7 years. They were preoccupied. Now they were buried. Oh, Yishuv Hadas. We can live like a normal person. The neshamos, they go to Chay Olam Haba. All of the events of Tu B'Av represent one thing, Chayim. Shaduchim, Shevet Binyamin, Lovel B'Kahal, the Meis Midbar, they stopped dying. Haruge Beitar, they were buried, so life can resume for the living, and the neshamas have Chay Olam Haba. What do trees have to do with anything? The answer is, all of the surviving trees are very happy. I'm not even joking. There's something to it. If it says in the Pasuk, Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sodeh, and you cut down a tree, you know, how do we understand this?
No, there's an additional concept here. The fact that they regularly burn Torah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you want to say, Rav Mordechai is saying something much more pashut. He's saying is that Chazal said, what did they do with the extra time on their hands? They went to learn Torah. The Atem Hadvekim.
Yosef,
you're right. Excellent.
Yosef,
excellent. Anyone who learns more, Mark quotes the Pasuk. Yeah, excellent. He's saying Mamash on the ball. Mamash, Mordechai hit the nail on the head. So the Gemara goes on to say that now at this time of the year, the nights get longer. The days are shorter, the nights are longer, and the nights were only created to learn Torah. Kol ha-moisef, anyone who's moisef and is learning, Yosef, he will have a longer life. He's adding to his life. Life. Everything about today is all about Chayim. It's a very chashuv day. We they go and make all these advertisements. Give money, we're going to daven for you for Shaduchim. Okay, 100%. But that's not what it's all about. That's not the only thing. It's not just about Shaduchim. It's about life. Life. Shaduchim is not the everything, it's the only thing.
Shaduchim is life.
Life. It's a day that revolves around life. L'chaim. It should be zoiche to have a wonderful life.
You can also say the man that destroyed the axe is like a sack.
He's saying very good. Taba magel, they destroyed the knife. Barzel is mikatzer. Ezra Fried is saying a very good vart. They, it was taba magel, they destroyed the axe. Why? Chazal say the barzel is mikatzer. Yama vishonav shaladam. So by destroying it, you're destroying a makatzer, because the day, the essence of today is life. Rabbi Yisai, l'chayim. Good Shabbos.